Sterling on Sunday weather. Tonight, new tropical storm in the Gulf. Winter weather warning on the Front Range of the Rockies. New fire threats with a new round of gusty winds creating dangers over the same scorched areas in California. And rakes and shovels to the northeast. Now, to tell this story correctly, we need to start with the big winter storm out west. And blizzard conditions. Some record-setting cold. And that storm is generating dangerous winds to wildfire areas just north of Sacramento and around Los Angeles on Monday. And if you got travel plans in that direction, check with your carrier first. The next chapter of the story is the warm, moist air pushing north across the Gulf. What will become Hurricane Zeta? Central Gulf Coast for landfall again, this time late Wednesday, and locally heavy flash flooding rains for the southeast up to the mid-Atlantic from Zeta's remnants into Halloween weekend. Finally, the northern part of this next storm, driving rain and snow across the Great Lakes tonight, expanding to a much larger area of cold rain tomorrow, and later teaming up with our same winter storm out west. And that's what's going to direct and steer Zeta. It's going to be a busy week indeed. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Small wildfire starts in Northern California. Highlight danger of extreme weather. There are more wildfires launching in Northern California. It is a remarkable horror. And PG&E, their power company, is going to reach El Dorado. 225,000 people of a possible 361,000 customers in wildfire safety outage. They're going to shut down the power. Congratulations. The wildfires are going to eat your house. And we're going to shut down your power. Welcome to Northern California. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and one of the things that I just find disgusting on so many levels is, okay, that's what's important. You know, when I look at what's my news, I look at that and I go, well, you know, if I lived in Northern California, I would care a lot more about that than even the election. I would care more about the fact that the wildfires are about to eat my home than the election. Wouldn't you? But there we go. We're all focused on other things. But my news is this. I have a 17-year-old daughter who just started Syracuse University, and what she has experienced in the first 2 months of school, you and I never experienced and should never have to experience. I have a 15-year-old daughter who has decided that she really does want to get her nose pierced, and she has found every loophole in the law and in her parents' guidance in order to make that happen. And I have an 8-year-old, Samantha, go to bed. I have an 8-year-old who's a miracle, but she has started to decide it is her decision when to go to bed. She has decided she will tell us when to go to bed. That is my life. And I have a wife who has a sister, and the sister-in-law controls our marriage. Sister-in-law gets new furniture, we're getting that furniture. Sister-in-law gets a new outfit, we're getting that outfit. Sister-in-law has two nannies, we're getting two nannies. I don't care who you are. In your marriage, your sister-in-law controls your marriage. That's the deal. That's what we have to live with. Regardless if it's that one sister, the sister-in-law controls the marriage. The brother-in-law, nothing. The brother-in-law maybe says, do you want tickets to the game? Tops. That's the most the brother-in-law will do. But the sister-in-law. Now, I've become aware of the progressive wackiness of celebrities endorsing candidates. And I thought, well, all right, so celebrities are endorsing candidates, and I don't care about politics. The minute they declare, I know who I'm going to vote for. Don't you? Do we really have to talk about it endlessly for thousands of hours? By the way, let me share with you an inside radio secret. The more a radio station talks about politics, the lower its ratings. Isn't that amazing? The more it talks about politics, the lower its ratings. Now, I'll tell you something else about radio. At the dawn of talk radio, about 1980, now before that, it actually dawned about 1920. At the dawn of talk radio, about 1920, and congratulations, this is radio's 100th birthday. It started at KDKA. I can't believe how lucky I am to be on KDKA. Sterling on Sunday is on KDKA in Pittsburgh, the first commercial radio station in America. All right. Now, in the 1920s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, there were about 50 spoken word radio stations in the United States, about 50 stations that just talked all day. Those radio stations were dominant radio stations. They were dominant radio stations. What did they talk about? The hosts talked about their day. They had little cooking shows, educational programs, but mostly the hosts talked about the things that you and I would talk about in the mall if we met each other for lunch that day. They talked about top-of-mind conversation, top-of-mind issues. Not even issues, just top-of-mind stuff. Hey, Susan, how you doing? Where are you going on vacation? That's what was on the radio. And then, I don't know, some strange morphing happened in the early 1980s, and stations talked more and more and more and more and more and more about politics, which used to be on Sunday mornings as public affairs. And it belonged on Sunday mornings because it got no ratings. But then that thing happened where they talked more and more about politics. And the more they talk about politics, the lower the ratings. As a business investment, that seems stupid. That seems really bad. But there are a handful of stations that have talk shows that don't talk about politics, and those stations do really well, really well. But now these celebrities have gotten progressively involved in movements and charity events and politics. The dumbest one I've heard, the dumbest celebrity so far, is this guy.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're not going to be used. Fear is not going to be something that we're going to, that's going to be what drives our country. We're not going to be scared of Muslims or immigrants or, you know, women.
Now, remember, before George Clooney looked like George Clooney, he was Roseanne's boss on Roseanne. He was like the factory manager. He was Roseanne's boss, his evil boss. And then he started to look George Clooney when he went on that incredibly dreary, overwrought hospital show. We didn't need that show. But then, here's an interesting fact about George Clooney. You would not think this is true. There's a term in Hollywood about an actor who can open a movie. They're so powerful, have such star power, that if they're in the movie, that people will come. They don't know anything about the movie. They don't know anything about the story. They will just come because that guy's in the movie. That actress is in the movie. He's not one of those guys. George Clooney cannot open a movie. He's an ensemble player. Ocean's 8, Ocean's 11, he was an ensemble player. He could not open a movie. So why would I listen to him about this crap?
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're not going to be used. Fear is not going to be something that we're going to, that's going to be what drives our country. We're not going to be scared of Muslims or immigrants or, you know, women.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling, and the name of this show is Sterling on Sunday. It is great to be with you. I'm here every single Sunday from 10 p.m. until 1 a.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast. That's all the math I can do in my head. That's it. That's it. But I'll tell you about one celebrity who seems to actually be doing some good. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Imagine that crazy scene from Pulp Fiction where John Travolta accidentally shoots the guy in the back seat in the car. Except it's with twin brothers, and so it's a little more weird. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
I'm Walter Sterling. I shave in the shower. That's where I've always shaved. And I got a Harry's razor. And I figured that it would feel like all the other razors I've used. It'd be a good shave, and that would be that. No, this was a completely different experience.
A little hard to explain, but it didn't feel like any other razor I had ever used in my life. Harry's Razor. Now, Harry's, you probably heard of them, maybe even tried them a few years ago. It's definitely time to try them again because they constantly invest in developing that razor, researching the razor, finding out how they can make it better for you and me. And here's the difference. They don't pass the cost of research and development on to us. You can still get a Harry's razor for about $3 a razor. Oh, my gosh. Now, right now, they have a terrific trial offer for you. Go to Harry's.com, Harry's.com, put in my name, Walter, Harry's.com, put in my name, Walter, and here's what you get. You get an ergonomic handle. It's a nice handle. You get a Harry's blade, which has five individual blades inside of it. You get this great foaming shave gel. You put it on, smells terrific, helps you with the razor and the shave, and you get a nice travel box. Well, you put in my name, Walter, and you get $5 off the travel set. It includes a five-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. It's $3. Plus, shipping is free. So for $3, you get a razor, a handle, foaming shave gel, a travel box, and it costs you $3. Usually they get you on the shipping and handling. The shipping and handling is free. What a great offer. You've got to try it. Harry's.com. Enter the promo code Walter. Harry's.com.
Sterling on Sunday.
Are you tired like I am of feeling pain every day? For over 15 years, arthritis pain has slowly been taking over me, as it has for 54 million Americans. Yet many delay taking their pain medications over concerns of long-term risk or experience with side effects from common pain relievers. I discovered with Hylands, the new Flexmore medicine, a natural relief for minor arthritis pain in daytime and nighttime formulas. It helps ease my muscle pain and joint pain as well as stiffness and cramping. The cap is easy to remove. I love how it's made with natural active ingredients. This means they can safely complement your prescription medications and they have no side effects. Take control over your arthritis pain now and get $3 off your purchase. Just enter my name, Walter, and you get $3 off. Walter, and you get $3 off. Hylands.com/arthritis or find Flexmore at CVS, Walgreens, Kroger, Walmart, or a Rite Aid near you.
Live from an all-American laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. They only give customized phone numbers to big stars. 888-688-WALT. Is there a celebrity that particularly annoys you when they attach their names to a product? When they attach their names to a product and you go, ooh, I really don't want to think about them in terms of that. Now, the big mistake is when a celebrity attaches their name to a specific candidate, and it turns out that that process of being attached to a particular ideology started with John Wayne, but he was smart enough not to attach his name to a particular candidate, just an ideology.
I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listened to your point of view.
That's John Wayne. But George Clooney...
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're not going to be used. Fear is not going to be something that we're going to, that's going to be what drives our country. We're not going to be scared of Muslims or immigrants or, you know, women.
We need to get you dressed.
Women. We're not going to be, you know, afraid of women. We're not. I'm terrified of women. I live with 8 or 9 of them. I'm not sure. I have 3 daughters, Samantha, who's 8, Meredith, who's 15, threatening to get a nose piercing and changing her hair color every day. And I will post on Facebook today her hair color of the day. And then Dorothy, who's up in Syracuse University and having the worst possible experience as an incoming fresh. I have two female cats, an aggressive wife, and yes, I am afraid of women, no matter what George Clooney says.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we're not going to be used. Fear is not going to be something that we're going to, that's going to be what drives our country. We're not going to be scared of Muslims or immigrants or, you know, women.
Right. Now, Chris Pratt, he was on Parks and Recreation. When he was on the TV show Parks and Recreation, he was fat. Is it okay for me to say he was fat? He was. And then he lost the weight, and he married Anna Faris. Everybody loves Anna Faris. She was on the sitcom Mother, a bunch of movies before that. She's a brilliant comedy writer, a great actress. Everybody loves Anna Faris. So that marriage couldn't possibly last because he lost all the weight. And what did he do? He went for the gold prize. He went for the gold ring. He went for... Oh, we got it. We have to have the right music for this. He went for... He went out and got a Kennedy. He went out and got Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter, a Kennedy grandchild. There's no greater prize in our culture than a Kennedy grandchild. Oh, you can see the excitement through the land. A big deal actor marries a big deal politician's daughter. There's nothing better, nothing more noble than that. What's her name? Nicole or something? And wicked gorgeous and an equestrian. Wicked gorgeous and an equestrian. Chris Pratt is sitting there going, oh my God. Even his ex-wife, Anna Faris, said, good for you. Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. Unbelievable. But he said something smart. While all these politicians were saying, all these actors were saying, go out and, go out and vote for this candidate. Go out and vote for this candidate. Go out and vote for the green ticket. For the green air ticket. Yes, we want green air. While they're headed for their private jets, Chris Pratt was much smarter. This is what Chris said. You ready?
Pratt wrote, with all that's going on in the world, it's more important than ever that you vote. Just ask any celebrity. They will tell you every day, several times a day, to vote. That's exactly why people got angry. Because Chris Pratt appears to be one of the good ones.
He is one of the good ones. He picks good movies. He was in that really funny sci-fi movie. You know, the one that was like the really funny superhero movie. And he is a good one. And he works. He's always working. And he married a Kennedy. There's never any downside to marrying a Kennedy. Even Taylor Swift bought a mansion next to the Hyannisport mansion that the Kennedys had in Rhode Island because she was trying to snag a Kennedy. And she could have snagged a Kennedy if he wasn't still in high school. That's all she needed to do was pay attention to the fact that the kid was still in high
Pratt
school.
Pratt wrote, with all that's going on in the world, it's more important than ever that you vote. Just ask any celebrity. They will tell you every day, several times a day, to vote. That's exactly why people got angry, because Chris Pratt appears to be one of the good ones.
We need to get you dressed.
It's 26 past the hour. It's Sterling on Sunday. I do this show every week from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast time, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast time. And you know what that means? All the grown-ups are in bed. Thank God all the grown-ups are in bed. It's just you and me. That means we can do whatever we want. That means when you're sitting in that 18-wheeler, you don't have to look to the right of you, look to the left of you, and make sure everything's okay. Everything's fine. And if you work in one of those tall buildings, the HR lady is sound asleep because HR ladies, they go to bed at 7:45. right after they've eaten the early bird special at the diner. Then they go to bed. No HR ladies, no corporate legal. The regional manager for your franchise, nowhere to be found because it's Sunday night. Now, maybe you're coming back from a long weekend. Hope you had a good time wherever you could actually go. And if you just got to get away for the fall foliage, there's nothing better. Is this the best? I will keep you up to date on the fires in Northern California outside of Sacramento. We keep an eye on it. And then John Weatherby has weather at 36 and 06 past every hour because this is a live radio show. Never once have you heard me say, best of. I've never said best of. Because there's no such thing as a best of talk show. That is dead fish. Speaking of dead fish, John Paul, a key Canadian broadcaster, was kind enough to guest star for me last week. And the reason I had to be away last week was kind of epic, and I'll share it with you coming up in seconds. Also coming up in 7 minutes, we are going to talk to Cooper Lawrence. Now, besides the fact that Cooper Lawrence has the coolest name in America, the coolest name in America. I'm leaning into the RE6 microphone. Into the coolest name in America. She has come up with an amazing premise. She has discovered something that you and I need to find out about because it has to do with celebrity and its impact on our culture. And the massive screw-ups that celebrities do when they mean to do well, my gosh, we're going to go out and commit good deeds. We're going to get out there and commit good deeds. But that never really does happen, except in the rarest of cases. And thank God it happens with John Bon Jovi, which brings out all the bromance feelings I could ever have, right? But what Cooper Lawrence has discovered is really amazing, and you'll get to talk to her at 888-688 WALT, 888-688-WALT, because I want you to be able to ask her your questions. The premise that she's going to present to you is stunning. It's amazing. It's stunning. Don't go anywhere. Hang around. This is a lot of fun. My name is Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Let's go, go. Let's go, go, go with Jukebox Gold.
Now back to America's favorite network radio program, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Monday, there'll be 80s to the south and teens to the north. That's the recipe for dangerous weather with your Monday forecast. Snow extremes, northern New England, then heavier rains down through New York and following the Appalachians. Then locally heavy thunderstorms from Indiana into Missouri, then down through Oklahoma and most of Texas, adding new Gulf moisture. And cold behind that, the rain snow line from the panhandles to a narrow area of snow western Illinois, and much heavier snows for New Mexico and Colorado. Expect travel delays there. No wildfire rains, by the way, for the west. Nothing much moves on Tuesday. Very little movement, so more rain and snow for whatever you got from Monday. You'll see it on Tuesday. But now we're going to add the first tropical downpours from Zeta late Tuesday night. And Zeta's landfall would be late Wednesday, spreading across the southeast Thursday. Zeta's presence will also moderate any cold extremes this week. But by Friday, Zeta's rains will be from the Carolinas all the way up to Maine. Some bigger travel delays at the big airports in the Northeast. And Halloween doesn't look so scary at all right now for Saturday. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Now, Cooper Lawrence, tell me if this isn't the single most annoying person who ever lived.
This year's election and the voting is so incredibly important. It's something I'm very passionate about. I was talking yesterday with Gloria Steinem, who I've connected with recently in Legend, right? So you just go, how fantastic to be able to have that time.
Connected to her, a legend.
This year's election and the voting is so incredibly important. It's something I'm very passionate about. I was talking yesterday with Gloria Steinem, who I've connected with recently in Legend, right? So you just go, how fantastic
legend,
to be able
right?
to have that time.
Legend, right? Oh my gosh, Cooper Lawrence, do you know who that is?
No, who's speaking? I don't even know who that was.
That's the most painful person on the planet. Meghan Markle.
Oh, I think it's Gwyneth Paltrow. Okay.
Oh, that,
so
no.
the other painful person.
No, this is the annex of Gwyneth Paltrow.
This is the one who's taken over her role because Gwenny got tired and has a new husband.
Right.
Who we don't know. We don't know anything about her new husband.
Oh, yeah, we know a lot about him. He does all the American Horror Stories, and, yeah, we like him better than we like her, actually. But she's still out there telling us how to live our lives as if we're celebrities, so
now what,
not a fan.
What does he do with American Horror Stories? What does he do?
Oh, he created. So he and Ryan Murphy created American Horror Story and Pose and a bunch of those shows on FX and Netflix. So, yeah, Brad Falchuk, he's a big-time producer, and the millennials love him.
He's a cable producer.
Yeah, you know, cable's where it's at these days, so you know that.
Now, Meghan, however, is married. No, so Meghan is married to Prince Harry.
That's
and
right.
Every time I see Prince Harry, I light a candle, because this this poor guy. Let's imagine you wake up one day, and you're mm-hmm. in Santa Barbara with Meghan Markle, and you were like, "Wait, what, what? Where am I?" And he wakes up and he goes, "I used to live in Buckingham Palace. I used to walk outside, and women said, 'Would you please marry me?'" And then he, if he needed anything, he'd take one look at the Queen, and he got another £1 million.
Right.
Right. And then
no, but he wanted out of all that. That was, she was his ticket out. I think that he's been wanting out of that lifestyle and away from those people for a long time. Remember, he doesn't get along well with his brother. He gets harassed all the time. He hasn't been happy. I don't know if you've been following him from the beginning, but whenever I saw pictures of him growing up, he always had this puss on his face, even before his mother died. I'm like, this is not a happy person. So I think that as soon as Meghan Markle came into his life, he was like, oh, finally, freedom. So I think everyone blames her, but I think he's been using her as his excuse to get out of that lifestyle and just lead a normal life. I mean, as strange as it is, he looks henpecked, and he looks happy.
Living in Santa Barbara in a mansion against the hill,
mm-hmm.
With a £7 million a year allowance, and everybody knows where you live, is not a normal life.
Well, I mean, normal as compared to living in a palace and being protected behind walls and gates. You know, at least now he can get out and live a celebrity life, a normal celebrity life, I should say. I mean, listen, his life is never going to be normal. He's never going to be doing anything that you and I would ever be able to do. He's not going to the gym and food shopping, you know, at Whole Foods or whatever. But, you know, normal for royalty, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that. The thing that's so striking to me about this is that Meghan now that she has what she wants, which is the next scale of fame many times up, all she does is complain about it. We're chased by paparazzi. we're gonna sue the paparazzi. Really, you're going to sue the paparazzi? Do you think that's a good path to go, Meghan? This is what you wanted.
Right. What were you expecting? Exactly. I mean, again, another example. Like, you could have very easily married anybody else, but you chose to marry not just royalty, but like a really famous bachelor, somebody that every woman was after for so long that everyone knows about. So you chose that lifestyle. Wah.
Okay, so I'm going to leave you with this theory, and then we'll talk about your amazing premise about celebrity and candidates for election. But I want to leave you with this evil thought. You ready?
Okay.
All right. This is Cooper Lawrence I'm talking to. She's written a book, the title of which I cannot pronounce. How do you pronounce that book?
Celebritocracy.
Right. I'll never get it, but I'll let you say it a few times, and we'll get those plugs in, Cooper. So
you're
welcome. Here's my evil theory, which I probably got from Days of Our Lives or General Hospital. You see, Meghan Markle was successful. She was on a hit show on the USA Network, and she was married to a guy who was also successful, a successful producer and director and writer. He mm-hmm. was making money. She was making money. They were successful. They were not struggling. And he was a good-looking guy. The guy she was
right.
married to was a good-looking guy. And by all accounts in Hollywood, they were happy.
Right.
They were happy. And then suddenly, she meets the prince, and she's gone. But what what has been was discovered at the time, and few have mentioned since, is that he was working on a cable show that follows this plot. He was working on a cable show that followed a commoner marrying a prince and dealing with that life. That's what her husband was working on.
Wow, that's fascinating.
It is. And who knows? Pure speculation. My opinion. I'll say that 10 times. My opinion. Maybe that's the deal. Maybe they work something out. I will go marry the prince.
Wow.
We'll be divorced.
How cynical.
We'll be divorced in 2 or 3 years and you'll have your movie. All right, we're going to talk about your amazing premise with Cooper Lawrence. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 43 past the hour, Sterling on Sunday.
Imagine that crazy scene from Pulp Fiction where John Travolta accidentally shoots the guy in the back seat in the car. Except it's with twin brothers, and so it's a little more weird. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
I'm Walter Sterling. Are you tired, as I am, of feeling pain every day and not being able to do what you love or get a restful night's sleep? The pain interferes with your sleep. Well, for over 15 years, arthritis pain has slowly been taking over me, as it has for 54 million Americans. I have joint pain in my thumbs, and my feet are killing me. My feet have bothered me my whole life, but it has gotten worse as arthritis has taken over my feet. Maybe you too. Many people delay taking their pain medication over concerns of long-term risks, or they experience side effects from common pain relievers. I discovered with Hylens, the new Flexmore medicine, a natural relief for minor arthritis pain in daytime or nighttime formulas. It helps ease my muscle and joint pain, as well as stiffness and cramping. Plus, the cap is easy to remove. I love how it's made with natural, active ingredients, which are, they're tough on pain and yet it's gentle on my body. This is an all-natural product. You can take it with your prescription medicine without fear. It means you can safely complement your prescription medications and they have no side effects. Take control of your arthritis pain now and get $3 off your purchase when you go to Hylens.com/arthritis. Hylens.com/arthritis. And once you're there, you're going to buy the nighttime or daytime formula or both. Then in the promo box, you put my name, Walter. And instantly you'll see it. $3 comes off the purchase. You put in my name and boom, $3 comes off the purchase. Enter my name at checkout, $3 off the purchase. Or you can find these great products at CVS, Walgreens, Kroger, Walmart, or Rite Aid near you.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
All right, 47 past the hour. That's exactly what my dryer does sound like. And I keep very close tabs on who's doing the laundry. Today, for reasons I do not understand, the 8-year-old said, I want to do my laundry. Well, 8-year-olds and laundry, bad idea. But she, in fact, put the laundry in the washer, started it herself. I'm terrified to see exactly what got in there, but it's a lot of drama in the laundry room. Cooper Lawrence, what's the name of your book?
Celebritocracy.
All right. Now, her premise, Cooper Lawrence's premise in this book,
yeah,
is amazing. It's fascinating because what she says is the opposite of what everybody thinks the relationship between a celebrity and a politician is. Please share that.
Yeah, so my study, my book is based on about 20, 30 years of studies, and not just my studies, but studies at Harvard, American University, peer-reviewed journals. So this is a really deep area of research that just doesn't get a lot of publicity. And I'm here to disseminate this information to people that need to hear it. Because we're all sick of celebrities. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We're all sick of celebrities sitting around telling us who to vote for, how to live our lives, what to do. It's really frustrating. And then you say to yourself, well, is it having any impact? And the answer is no, zero. It's fascinating to think that all these celebrities stepping up and saying, vote for Trump, vote for Biden, it makes no difference whatsoever. The thing that does make a difference, the reason why, look, adults vote who they want to vote for. They're not going to be swayed by a celebrity. We're talking about mostly like 18 to 35-year-olds. And the reason why they are not affected by celebrity is because they make their decisions based on the things that their friends and their family talk to them about. They talk about specifically, you know, well, I'm from a religious background and I don't believe in abortion. What candidate supports that? Or, you know, I'm from a very liberal background and I want to make sure that climate change is something that I care about and student loan debt, you know, things that I specifically care about. So it's your friends and family who have those conversations with you. That's not what a celebrity says. Celebrity says, vote for Trump or vote for Biden. And that's it. They don't explain really why. They don't know why you care. They don't know you. So thank God the celebrities are not having an impact on who we vote for, but they are having an impact of getting people to register and motivating them to vote. And we're already seeing that in record numbers. People are motivated by rage and anger. They're not motivated by hope. So I think that's helpful as well. But I think celebrities raising awareness to a younger population and letting them know that their voice is important and their voice is important to be heard, they are hearing that call.
Now, would you say that if a celebrity says, I endorse this candidate, it helps or hurts the specific candidate?
Makes no difference whatsoever. The studies show that all it does, it softens the candidate's image. So if you have a candidate that's sort of unknown or maybe is, you know, politician and people don't trust politicians in general. So you need a celebrity to soften that political edge. You know, we've heard so many times on both sides of the aisle, politicians that have stolen money, done things illegal. So we don't trust politicians, but we do trust celebrities. So that's the only impact a celebrity has, to kind of soften the blow of who the politician is.
But a celebrity, isn't it? We like a celebrity for emotional reasons. They are wrapped in emotion. And it could be that the last movie they were in terrified us, or the last song they sang we hated. And that's going to carry over to the connection, oh, what a feeling, to the connection with a celebrity. If we hated the last thing they did, it may not help that celebrity.
It'll make us like them, make us go see their next movie or buy their next album, but it's not going to tell us who, they're not going to help tell us who to vote for. That's a big leap. You know, because I really love Kate Winslet, for example. I mean, she's not American, so that was really unfair. Let's say Reese Witherspoon. You know, who Reese Witherspoon is voting for, I could care less.
Right.
I don't care who she's voting for. She doesn't operate in the best interests of me and my family, but I like her as an actress, and I'll watch the next season of Big Little Lies or whatever else she's working on.
Now, in your book, what's the name of that book?
Celebritocracy.
In that book, you also covered all the wacky schemes that celebrities have attached their names to in the name of goodness, in the name of charity, and sometimes these things don't work out well. You had some stunning examples of where they didn't work out well and stunning examples of where they did work out well. Now, about the Sir Bob Geldof charity, the We Are the World charity. Now, I'm going to tell you 10 seconds so you can think about what you want to say. I'm going to give you
Live
about
Aid,
10
you mean?
Live Aid. Okay, let me tell you. I was invited to speak in Australia, which is always a good deal. And they said, what would it take to get you to come here and speak? And I said, two words, first class. And I found out that I was on a panel. I was speaking with two other people, Gordon Liddy and Sir Bob Geldof.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is I came on after Geldof.
Right.
I was in the middle. Geldof gets up there, and he's out of his mind. He is out of his freaking mind. He is spewing things about how the radio industry has to serve the indigenous people and how the radio industry has to play more new music. And I get up there after he's going on about how the radio industry has to play more good new music. And I said, well, how about that? A record guy is telling us to play new songs.
Right.
And so that was good. And then G. Gordon Liddy gets up and speaks. And thank God I didn't come on after him, because he's a brilliant public speaker. He is a world-class public speaker, so I didn't have to deal with that. But tell us the story about We Are the World, because when I read the details about what has happened since, my mouth didn't shut.
Right. So the thing about Live Aid is that, so it was 1985. It's funny because this is the 35-year anniversary, so everyone's been talking about it this year. What's very interesting is, you know, we all know the feel-good story. We know that it was supposed to be for famine in Ethiopia, and the money was going towards helping those people who were experiencing the famine. So he got people to donate, and there were two concerts. There was one at Wimbledon in London and one in Philadelphia, and it was broadcast all over the world. They raised $127 million from Live Aid. And you go, oh, that's what a lovely story. They helped these people who are going through famine. No, that's not exactly what happened, because it's Bob Geldof, and it's all of you know, it's all celebrities, and they did a great job, and there was really iconic moments, and I don't want to discount, you know, what it meant. But these are celebrities. They're not researchers, and they're not historians, and they didn't really understand that the $127 million that they turned over to Mogadishu Haile Mariam, was the name of the head of Ethiopia at the time, the leader of Ethiopia. They handed him this check. It's sort of this famous photograph of them, like, joking around with him and handing him this big check. He took that $127 million, handed it over to the Russians because they had the best military equipment. He bought $127 million worth of military equipment, which he used to slaughter tens of thousands of his own people, because that famine in Ethiopia was man-made. It was made with the intent of killing his own people. He was a beast. But because there was no research done, because it was 1985 and it felt good, none of that money went towards helping anybody. All that money went towards the civil war going on in Ethiopia that everybody afterwards was talking about. And a lot of people don't know this story. And really, it was Bob Guccione and his sister who found this research out, and they published all of this. But at the time, you know, there was no Google, there was no social media.
Right.
So if you missed that article in the magazine that week, you know, it didn't get a lot of press. So I think those are important stories, and they really illustrate how celebrities mean well, but make sure after you give money to a celebrity, you follow up to find out where that money went.
Now, Cooper Lawrence, in your book, which will be posted in a link on my Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling, there's one good guy. In 60 seconds, tell us about the good guy.
It's John Bon Jovi. And when he started Bon Jovi Boulevard to help the Katrina victims, he built this beautiful area. He goes back there every once in a while. If they need something new, like a roof or a park, he puts it in. He keeps his finger on the pulse. He makes sure that they are being cared for because his name is on it. No other celebrity does that, and he is the gold standard. So if you're a celebrity, look to John Bon Jovi. He's the guy.
Cooper Lawrence, what's the name of your book?
Celebritocracy.
I appreciate you being on Sterling on Sunday. These are great stories. More of them in the book. Get the book. And thank you very much. It's 57 past the hour, 57 past the hour. My number is 888-688-WALT. Go to the Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling, where you can find the link to Cooper Lawrence's fantastic book about celebrities and their wacky charity adventures and their foibles in associating their names with political candidates. Sterling on Sunday.
Was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Tonight, new tropical storm in the Gulf. Winter weather warning on the Front Range of the Rockies. New fire threats with a new round of gusty winds creating dangers over the same scorched areas in California. And rakes and shovels to the northeast. Now, to tell this story correctly, we need to start with the big winter storm out west. And blizzard conditions. Some record-setting cold. And that storm is generating dangerous winds to wildfire areas just north of Sacramento and around Los Angeles on Monday. And if you got travel plans in that direction, check with your carrier first. The next chapter of the story is the warm, moist air pushing north across the Gulf. What will become Hurricane Zeta? Central Gulf Coast for landfall again, this time late Wednesday, and locally heavy flash flooding rains for the southeast up to the mid-Atlantic from Zeta's remnants into Halloween weekend. Finally, the northern part of this next storm, driving rain and snow across the Great Lakes tonight, expanding to a much larger area of cold rain tomorrow, and later teaming up with our same winter storm out west. And that's what's going to direct and steer Zeta. It's going to be a busy week indeed. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm J.J. Wilson, son of legendary broadcaster Big Wilson. And this is the Drive-Thru Brew. Now, we listen in on Jake and the manager arguing about how to deal with the influx of New Yorkers to the countryside to escape the homeless hordes in Manhattan. Confusing? Yes, but we don't have loads of time here.
I hate New Yorkers with their fancy hatchbacks and half-baked ideas and weird beer needs. I mean, whoever heard of all-wise mead? All-wise mead.
All-wise mead is a Brooklyn brew made by one of the Sprouse twins, Dylan Sprouse. Why wouldn't you want his mead? He is in a new movie wearing a long pink taffeta dress and long hair. He is ravishing, really. He is a brand new pronoun.
What? How would you even know about such a movie? Oh, here comes the customer, thank goodness.
Boys, boys, hi! I'm from the city, hello. Oh, it's so rustic here. I can smoke anywhere. Everyone is wearing MAGA wear, and there are, like, bird baths on every single lawn. This is fabulous. Fill my trunk with Peel's beer.
We are brewing and shipping out of Peel's beer that even my usually quiet brother is excited about.
Oh, and that pink taffeta dress guy's all-wise meadery. A case, please.
There, Jake. All manageable.
Next time, we'll hear how Jake and the manager select a new logo on Life in the Drive-Thru Brew. Word Car speaking.
We need to get you dressed.
It's 9 minutes past the hour. 9 minutes past the hour. Sterling on Sunday. You know what? You know what's the most amazing thing about this show, besides the fact that it's on for 8 hours in Orlando, Florida? The station in Orlando airs it for 8 hours. Because they realize that the genius you are hearing right now coming out of this speaker, James Kardashian, that you're hearing coming out of this speaker, Neil Paul, is unrivaled. You're not going to hear this anyplace else. Where are you going to hear anything like this? You're going to hear this on a morning zoo? No, I'll tell you what you're going to hear on a morning zoo. Hey, can you believe it? We're still not back in the studio. That's what you're going to hear on a morning zoo. Meanwhile, I've never been in a studio because there isn't one broadcasting company in the United States of America with the confidence to put me in their corporate offices. Not one. One station gave me an ID to get me in and out of the building, but that was only so the sound engineer wouldn't be inconvenienced. Nope. Nobody has given me a job. And you know what the law of attraction says? The law of attraction says, put out into the universe what you want most, and it will come to you if you really mean it. I want a 5-day-a-week on-air shift. That's what I want. Now, if you're working at FedEx, you're thinking, that's not a shift. I know about shifts. You don't have any idea, Sterling, what a shift is. Okay, you're right. I want a 5-day-a-week show. A 5-day-a-week show. I don't care if it's 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or 4 hours, or 5 hours. 5 hours, I get a producer and a partner. But I don't really care. The law of attraction says I'll put it out into the universe, and there we are. Now, if you live in Northern California and are listening on KFBK, this station, this show, has a real meteorologist live, and his name is John Weatherby. He'll be giving you updates on the conditions in Northern California. That's coming up in seconds, because this is an actual radio show. I want to share with you some things that I need your help on. One of the great things about having this show is every time I've asked you for help, you've helped me. I want to share with you what's why I wasn't here last week. Because, as you know, usually I come here, and if I take a week off, that's weird because I'm only on once a week. What kind of preparation could this take? Massive! It takes massive preparation. But I had one of the hardest weeks I've ever had last week. It was brutal. And it wasn't just that any one thing was difficult. It's that it was the cascading effect, one thing after the other. But I could use your help. I'm going to tell you what I went through. I'm going to tell you where we are now, and maybe you can help me. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Program that into your phone. I'll tell you what the problem is coming up in just seconds, 13 past the hour on Sterling on Sunday.
Imagine that crazy scene from Pulp Fiction where John Travolta accidentally shoots the guy in the back seat in the car. Except it's with twin brothers, and so it's a little more weird. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Highlands.com. I'm Walter Sterling. Are you tired like I am of feeling pain every day and not being able to do what you love? You know, when my feet are killing me, it's difficult for me to sleep. Well, for over 15 years, arthritis pain has been slowly taking over me, as it has for 54 million Americans. Yet many people delay taking their pain medication over concerns of long-term risks or experience with side effects from common pain relievers. I discovered Highland's new Flexmore medicine, F-L-E-X, Flexmore medicine. It is a natural relief for minor arthritis in daytime or nighttime formulas. They make two different formulas because our pain relationship is different in the daytime or at night. The cap is easy to remove, and I love how it's made, listen, with natural, active ingredients. Those ingredients are tough on pain, but they're gentle on my body. This means I can safely complement prescription medications with Flexmore and have no side effects. No side effects. Take control of your arthritis pain now and get $3 off your purchase when you go to Highlands.com. Highlands.com/arthritis. That's H-Y-L-A-N-D-S. Highlands.com/arthritis. Enter the name Walter at checkout and get $3 off your purchase. Highlands.com/arthritis. Enter the promo code Walter, and the minute you put it in, you see $3 comes off. Or find these great Flexmore medications at CVS, Walgreens, Kroger, Walmart, or a Rite Aid right near you.
Sterling on Sunday.
For years now, Harry's has been making great razors, but they constantly invest in research and development to make Harry's razors better and better all the time. Most companies would charge you and me for that, those expenses and that investment, but not Harry's. You can still get a Harry's razor for about $3. $3. Now think of the money you wasted the last time you went to buy a razor. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. You could buy a car for that money, but not with Harry's. Go to Harry's.com. They have a special trial offer. Here's what you get. You get a Harry's razor. You get a beautiful ergonomic handle. And you get foaming shave gel, which smells great, helps with the shave, gives me a remarkable shave, and I bet it will you. Go to Harry's.com, Harry's.com. Enter the promo code Walter. All of that, razor, handle, shaving gel, box, $3. Shipping is free. The shipping is free. Well, it's $3. Go do it. Harry's.com. Enter the promo code Walter for a $3 trial set.
Where you're hearing things.
Where you're hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
Imagine that crazy scene from Pulp Fiction where John Travolta accidentally shoots the guy in the back seat in the car. Except it's with twin brothers, and so it's a little more weird. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part one of Florida Stories.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Tonight, new tropical storm in the Gulf. Winter weather warning on the front range of the Rockies. New fire threats with a new round of gusty winds creating dangers over the same scorched areas in California. And rakes and shovels to the northeast. Now, to tell this story correctly, we need to start with the big winter storm out west. And blizzard conditions. Some record-setting cold. And that storm is generating dangerous winds to wildfire areas just north of Sacramento and around Los Angeles on Monday. And if you got travel plans in that direction, check with your carrier first. The next chapter of the story is the warm, moist air pushing north across the Gulf, what will become Hurricane Zeta. Central Gulf Coast for landfall again, this time late Wednesday, and locally heavy flash flooding rains for the southeast up to the mid-Atlantic from Zeta's remnants into Halloween weekend. Finally, the northern part of this next storm, driving rain and snow across the Great Lakes tonight, expanding to a much larger area of cold rain tomorrow, and later teaming up with our same winter storm out west. And that's what's going to direct and steer Zeta. It's going to be a busy week indeed. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 18 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday, we are live. You and I are live, and I'm glad we're together now, and I'm glad the grown-ups have gone to bed. I'm glad you're alone in the car because I get to talk with you, and I need your advice. A number of things happened to me last week that were difficult, and I had to take last Sunday off to deal with them, to recover from them. I'm going to share with you what they are. My 17-year-old daughter went to Syracuse University, and she was on the air with me a few times. And she's funny and clever like your daughter and beautiful like your daughter. But this was her first time as an incoming frosh. This was her first time living in a dorm, first time living in quarantine away from her parents. There she was alone in the dorm, a 25-story dorm, 5 hours away from home, surrounded by a handful of people she didn't know. And she's a... Unlike her father, she needs to connect. She needs to have relationships with people, meet people, talk to them. Very social child. Not like me. She found a boy, and a boy found her. A nice boy. I liked everything she told me about him. It was terrific. And this seemed to be going well. He did cute things. Like on a date, they went to the park. They went, no, to the woods by the graveyard in Syracuse, Thornton Park. And he hung a hammock between two of the trees, and with their iPhones, he had a movie. They watched a movie in the hammock in the woods because they couldn't go to a movie theater. That was one of his dates. His dates were clever and funny, and he was sweet. He's a good kid. Last week, my 17-year-old daughter calls me up, and we couldn't even understand what she was saying. We couldn't understand what she was saying because it was a cascade, a Niagara Falls of crying. She was crying so profoundly that her voice shook, her body shook, I'm sure, and we couldn't understand a thing that she was saying. We couldn't understand anything she was saying. That's how bad it was. She was crying and crying and crying, and we just said, well, we'll cry until you can tell us what's going on. We were very nervous. But it was much worse than anything we thought. It was much worse. And as we listened to her, as the tears subsided, we got to hear this story. And it was like, what? So she spent 2 months in quarantine. She's at a new school. And now she's crying uncontrollably. Something horrible has happened. And what happened is that on the campus, they have a trolley, a bus that's made up to look like a trolley, a campus bus. A campus trolley. And a young man named Trevor Pierce, 18-year-old named Trevor Pierce, was skateboarding near this trolley, and he was killed. He was killed by the campus trolley. He skateboarded in front of it, and he was killed. And it turns out he was killed instantly. This was my daughter's boyfriend. Trevor Pierce made her comfortable at Syracuse, made her comfortable to be away from mom and dad, 5-hour drive away, dealing with all the pressures of an incoming freshman. She found her boy. She found her guy. And this was a good guy. He was a high school hero. He was well-liked by everybody at Syracuse. He had a great story. He was the kid you want your daughter to date. And she's still suffering, of course, and she'll suffer for a long time, but she's still suffering from the fact that her boyfriend was killed by an on-campus bus. She couldn't function. And now she wants a leave of absence. Now she wants to come home. Now she wants to leave school. And I've never dealt with anything like this before. I don't know what to do. My first instinct is, come home. My first instinct is, mommy and daddy will come and get you and come home. Because this was her love. This is her rock. This is what kept her at school. I don't know what to tell her. Then later on in the day, she'll say, it's okay. I can stay at school. I'll be all right. And then the next day, avalanche of tears, Niagara Falls of tears. I can't stay. I need a leave of absence. And I know in the long run, as a matter of fact, that it's not that important. She can come home. She can go back to school. There are practical issues such as you're going to lose your financial aid, but I don't really care about that. This is my baby. This is our first child. This is the kid who made us parents. And she's suffering so much. She lost her boyfriend, her freshman boyfriend. And he was clearly a wonderful guy. There are vigils at his high school at home. There are vigils at the college at Syracuse. This kid was murdered by, was run over by a bus. And his life was wiped out at 18 years of age. Trevor Pierce, at 18 years of age. I don't know what to tell her. What I did is, after a day or two, when it was clear she was not going to get comfortable with this, I got in the car and I drove 5 hours. And I went to spend a day with her. We shared a hotel room so she'd feel safe. And she told me how she felt and what he did and told me all the cute things he did for her and why he was so important to her and what made him special. And I was glad I got to hear that. I was really glad I got to hear that. It was one of those times when you know you were a parent and you showed up for your kid. It's not a noble thing, not a heroic thing. It's just what we do as parents, right? It's just what we do. But boy, I wish they had handed me a script. It was one of those times where I'm like, I don't have the script for this. I wish I had the script for this. I want to help her get over that pain, and maybe you have some advice for me. Every time I've needed advice with my kids, you've given it to me, and it's always been incredibly good. Here's my phone number. You feel like talking? Great. 888-688-WALT. 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 Your advice would be appreciated. Let me tell you a little bit more about Trevor Pierce, because this was a special kid. He brought his skateboard with him to Syracuse. He just wanted to experience everything in life. Pierce's account, a photography app, was full of pictures of him in Thrasher skateboarding apparel with his skateboard around Syracuse. And he was, on Tuesday, his skateboard collided with Syracuse University trolley at the intersection of Comstock and Waverly Avenue. The freshman died of his injuries. Pierce has been remembered by his family and friends for having a talent for connecting with people. He used his own life experiences, being raised by a single mother struggling with ADHD and dealing with his mom's recent fight with breast cancer, to develop empathy for others. A GoFundMe was set up for Trevor Pierce on Thursday afternoon. It far exceeded the goal. So his name's Trevor Pierce, and there's a GoFundMe. He was raised by a single mom who was a nurse and had breast cancer, and the two of them got through life and got him to a great university. Trevor Pierce, say a prayer, say a good thought, and let me know what you would do, what you would tell my daughter, because I need to help her get through the stages of grief and to be of maximum use to her. My name is Walter Sterling. The show is Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Advice for my daughter would be appreciated. 888-688-WALT. These are the times when you're a parent and you don't have the script. My daughter's boyfriend was killed at college. He was killed at college, and he was a good kid. This was the one that you want your daughter to date. So, Dorothy, our prayers are with you. Mommy and Daddy love you. I am so sorry you've had to go through this, but you are not alone. We're here. The three cats are here. Your baby Samantha, who's 8 years old, is here. And your Meredith is here, and she still wants to have her nose pierced, which is very disturbing. All right, let's see. It's 29 past the hour. It's a Sunday night. You and I are live. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. I'd love to talk to you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. What have I got for you? Well, all the things you love are coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday. Really? Are you sure? 10 more seconds. My friend James just said 20 more seconds. I'm like, I'm not prepared to talk for 20 more seconds. I'm not that good. 10 more seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Pay no attention to the noises in the background.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Monday, there'll be 80s to the south and teens to the north. That's the recipe for dangerous weather with your Monday forecast. Snow extremes, northern New England, then heavier rains down through New York and following the Appalachians. Then locally heavy thunderstorms from Indiana into Missouri, then down through Oklahoma and most of Texas, adding new Gulf moisture. And cold behind that, the rain snow line from the panhandles to a narrow area of snow western Illinois, and much heavier snows for New Mexico and Colorado. Expect travel delays there. No wildfire rains, by the way, for the west. Nothing much moves on Tuesday. Very little movement, so more rain and snow for whatever you got from Monday. You'll see it on Tuesday. But now we're going to add the first tropical downpours from Zeta late Tuesday night. And Zeta's landfall would be late Wednesday, spreading across the southeast Thursday. Zeta's presence will also moderate any cold extremes this week. But by Friday, Zeta's rains will be from the Carolinas all the way up to Maine. Some bigger travel delays at the big airports in the Northeast. And Halloween doesn't look so scary at all right now for Saturday. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
My 17-year-old daughter just started going to college at Syracuse University. And she had a horrendous week last week, and it's why I wasn't on last week. And thank you, John Paul, for doing the show for me. You're terrific. But I needed to go see her. And the reason I had to go see her and spend time with her and be a father is because here she is, a freshman in college, 5 hours away from home with very few friends, and she's a very social kid. She needs the connections of a lot of kids, and she started to get happy there when she got a boyfriend. And this was a good guy. His name's Trevor Pierce. And Trevor Pierce was a skateboarder. And his skateboard got a little too near the campus trolley, which is a bus, and he was killed. 18-year-old, full of future, and he got killed. And this kid made my daughter happy. And the minute this happened, she started crying, and she hasn't stopped crying since. So I had to go see her. I don't have a script for this. My best friend, my lover in college, was not killed. I don't have a good script for this, and I need your advice. Anytime I've asked for your advice on how to deal with my kids, how to help my children, you've been spectacular. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Vanessa in Palm Springs, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
First of all, I'd like to say I love your show. I love your pragmatic approach to real time. I'm a mother. My children are grown and they have kids. And I hope this helps you and your wife. I want to first off start with good job, mom and dad, because she is looking for someone like you. And it sounds like she picked someone. Bring her home. The reason why I say this is you may not know how to help her. You may not know how to help her heal. But just you guys being there as her rocks, the whole essence of Trevor in her life and what he's done for her may change her outlook on her direction of what she wants to do with her life. And what a blessing that she had parents like you, so she can be free of thinking and thought. And in the world of this COVID, I'm just going to say garbage, people are so disconnected. And what a blessing to have and hear about this connection of love with your family, understanding. You just need to be there for her. And when you're there for her, she's going to start to heal. And Trevor's spirit's going to be with her because that spirit you built in her, Walt. I've lost friends as a teenager. This almost made me cry too, because I remember this as a kid. I didn't have my parents. And just to have them there, so you know they're there. And with your strength and your wife's strength, you guys just need to be there for her and let her bloom into a whole nother flower. And she will, because of your strength. And with that strength, whatever her and Trevor had in private time and their conversations and the things that just really sparked her soul, it might change her direction to do great things in life. And you guys are those rocks. And what a blessing.
Well, Vanessa, you are a blessing. I love you, Vanessa. And I really do. And thank you very much for the call. Thank you so much. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I appreciate the help that you're giving me tonight on how to help my daughter. My daughter is a freshman in college. Her boyfriend was killed, hit by a bus in Syracuse. She wants to come home. And our instincts are, okay, come home. It's tricky. It's like tricky. But we want to do the right thing for her. And what would you do? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Karen, listening on the great KDKA in Pittsburgh, welcome.
Hello. Hi, Walt. I love your show. I wish you were on 5 days a week.
You and me both.
I do have some advice for you. So I've gone through the grieving process myself. Both of my parents died about 10 years ago, and they died about 5 months apart, and it was really tough. I never healed from the first death, and then the second death came. So life was very difficult. So right now, the first thing you need to do, and it's really easy, you just need to listen to your daughter. So whatever she tells you, if she's crying or whatever, it's important for her to get all this out. She's going to be processing all this, but as long as you're there to listen, you don't have to have all the words. As long as you're there to listen. And I know when I was grieving and I had people that would listen to me, it really did help. And another thing that really helped is I was involved with some grief support groups. Like the hospital that I worked at, they had a grief support group, which was really helpful. In my religion, my church parish, they had some grief support groups. That was really helpful because I was around people that were also grieving, and they knew what I was talking about. They also had a death in their family or their friends, and they understood me, and that really helped support me. So if your daughter can connect, if she does come home, if she really wants to come home, then that's perfectly fine. But if you have somewhere in your community that she could connect with a grief support group, or maybe at Syracuse University there is a grief support group or some sort of counseling, that would help her.
Syracuse University has offered grief counseling, and she has taken advantage of it. She's taken advantage of all the support that they've offered, and I'm proud of her for that. You know, I don't know if I would have run for the help. So she's grabbed the help, and it's quality help. I'm glad I'm glad you told me what you told me, and thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT. My daughter's at Syracuse. She was doing okay, and then she met the boy. And she was happy. This was a good guy. And then he got killed. He was killed. Trevor Pierce. He was killed by a bus. And it's destroyed my daughter. It's destroyed her. And now she'd like to come home. And our instincts are, come home. I want to do the right thing. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. All right, it's 44 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling. I want to share with you information about Harry's.com. Harry's Razors. Harry's Razors. Harry's disrupted and revolutionized the razor industry to our benefit. Finally, some disruptor that did us good. Here's what they've done. Harry's has significantly lowered the price and dramatically improve the quality of razor blades for us, for guys. Harry's.com. They bought their own factory. They control the steel chain from Sweden. Their own steel, their own factory. And the result is they make a stunning razor that feels amazing. It doesn't feel like a traditional razor. You use this Harry's blade once, as I did. I'm like, whoa, this is completely different. To make it easy to try Harry's Razors, they set up a stunning offer. You can get a Harry's trial set, which consists of a Harry's blade, which has five little blades in it, an ergonomic handle, great shave gel. It's this wonderful shave gel. You put it on, smells terrific. You can feel that your beard is softening, and a travel box, and a handle. Ergonomic handle, blade, shaving gel, trial box. Ready? $3. You go to Harry's.com, select trial kit, put in the name Walter, and it'll cost you $3. $3. Shipping and handling, that's free. That's free. Harry's.com, enter the promo code Walter. All of that is $3. Harry's.com.
You get no commercials.
Actually, you do, but not for a few more minutes. Back to Sterling on Sunday.
All right, Sterling on Sunday with Walter M. Sterling live. Live. And I have a problem. It's the reason I wasn't here last week. My beautiful 17-year-old daughter is at Syracuse University. She's an incoming freshman with all the fears and anxiety of an incoming freshman. And a lot of it got better when she met the right guy, a young man named Trevor Pierce. And Trevor Pierce became her boyfriend pretty quick. Well-liked, very popular in his high school, very popular at Syracuse, handsome, charming, funny. And my daughter says the reason that she really liked him was because she loved the way he talked to his mom on the phone. He talked to his mom with respect. And he was an only child, and his mother just survived breast cancer. they were close. His mother was a good person, is a good person. Anyway, he died. He got killed by a bus last week. And, of course, my daughter was Niagara Falls of tears. She was beside herself. She was obsessed with this horror, as she should have been. I went up to see her, and one of the things she said then and keeps saying is that she wants to come home. She wants to take a leave of absence because she can't function. I need advice on what to say. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. I'm live. Gary in Millville, New Jersey. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday from WPHT.
Hey, Walt. Sorry about this. I am a regular listener, and again, like the last caller, I would love to have you on 5 days a week somewhere.
Yes.
But
not one of those small South Jersey stations, a big Philly station.
Well, hey, you go where you can go and you get what you can get in this life.
That's true. That's true, Gary. That's true.
What happens is, we have a lot, as I was saying to your producer, a lot of young kids today. I know I went in when I was 17, go in the military, make relationships, not, boyfriend, girlfriend necessarily, but you get close to your buddies. Someone gets killed. Thousands of miles away, nothing you can do to help. You're in a position now, bring her home. Because if things don't go right down the road for her, and God forbid it should go that way, you're going to kick yourself in the behind forever for not doing it.
Gary,
and that's
ahead.
It.
I'm sorry.
I know when my son, I have adult children. But I know when my youngest son, who did a couple of tours in Iraq, and he was in the infantry, and the first time he lost, not even his best friend, but a friend, guy was with every day, saw him in the bathroom, shaved, ate together, were out in the field together. I would have done anything to be able to have him here, my youngest son, put my arm around and say, come on, we're going to that spot. Him and I have a spot where we go camping and fishing all the time. I'd have done anything to do
that.
Did he
come home? Is he alive?
Oh, yeah. My son came home, but
okay.
His buddy didn't. And what I'm saying is, at the time, I'm not a techie at all into any of that stuff. But I remember I learned how to do that in MySpace at the time so I could talk to him. And I would have done anything to be able to bring him home to console him.
Right.
And you're in a position now where you can do it.
Yeah.
Screw the tuition.
Right.
Get your kid home and get her back on track.
We do FaceTime her twice a day or as much as she wants. But, Gary, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate what you're saying. And my instincts are the same as yours. Lee in Philadelphia, listening on WPHT. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello, Walter.
Yes.
Hi. I haven't called for a while. I don't know if you remember me. I used to call you more, but
yes, and I want you to call me more. Let's step that up.
Yeah, you're doing such a good job. I don't call because you're doing such a good job. But here's the thing. Your daughter is traumatized. And first and foremost, the environment that she's in is one of learning. She's not going to learn. If you can't focus, you can't learn. And when you're traumatized, you can't focus. I know what I'm talking about. When I was in elementary school, I went through this with a parent, and they didn't die, but they didn't. Were shot in a robbery, and I was traumatized. And as a result, I flunked second grade, and I also flunked fourth grade. But I had stayed in school. I had no choice but to stay in school. But this situation that you're talking about here this is a slam dunk. She's got to come home, and she's got to heal And then when she does, and she's ready to learn again, she can go to another school. She can't go back to the same school because she's going to always think of the school that way. So again, she's not going to be able to focus. And you know, you have to, if you want to learn anything, you have to be focused.
Lee,
and I went on to get, you know, a good education, and but it took me longer to, you know, to do it. You know, I was like a grown ass man by the time I got out of high school. In fact, they came looking for me to take me to Southeast Asia, and I went down there to the draft board, and I said, well, I didn't say anything. They said, well, you know, you're still in high school. We can't take you. So I went back. I would have gone, you know, but I figured I better finish my education so I can get a decent job someday, which I did end up getting a decent job. I got into sales, you know, which is sort of, a good way to make a living.
Are you, listen, Lee. You're very articulate, yeah. And you're clearly my friend. I have to ask, are you a good salesman?
Yes, I am.
You know, I got to tell you, everything you said made sense to me, especially the part about she can't go back there, which is nothing we had thought through. We thought, well, she'll take a semester off and go back there. You're probably absolutely right. That's probably a really bad idea. But thank you very much for your call. Thank you, Lee, for calling. I asked Lee if he was a good salesman because there's nothing more fantastic than a great salesman. And one of the things I've learned in my old age, all right, not that old. One of the things I've learned in my age is that a great seller is a great gift. It really is. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling on Sunday. I'm with you every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast. And 7 p.m. to 11, I never can do this in my head. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. West Coast. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And you and I get to talk about our lives because I think political theory is well covered by grown-ups during the week. The grown-ups are in bed now. You know, they've had 3 cocktails. They're sound asleep. We don't have to deal with them. We don't have to deal with the HR lady. We don't have to deal with corporate legal. We don't have to deal with the landlord. It's just us. And we get to share our hearts and our souls because it only comes out in the dead of night. It only comes out when we're alone at night. On the 18-wheeler going across Route 80, in our car, coming back from a long weekend, looking at that foliage, this is the time we get to share the truth. That's why I do this show, because what I hear during the day is nonsense. What I hear on radio stations during the day is complete nonsense. But at this hour, we get to share our truth. And it's golden. It's valuable. It's remarkable. I'd love to talk to you at 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Tonight, new tropical storm in the Gulf. Winter weather warning on the Front Range of the Rockies. New fire threats with a new round of gusty winds creating dangers over the same scorched areas in California. And rakes and shovels to the northeast. Now, to tell this story correctly, we need to start with the big winter storm out west. And blizzard conditions. Some record-setting cold. And that storm is generating dangerous winds to wildfire areas just north of Sacramento and around Los Angeles on Monday, and if you got travel plans in that direction, check with your carrier first. The next chapter of the story is the warm, moist air pushing north across the Gulf. What will become Hurricane Zeta? Central Gulf Coast for landfall again, this time late Wednesday, and locally heavy flash flooding rains for the southeast up to the mid-Atlantic from Zeta's remnants into Halloween weekend. Finally, the northern part of this next storm, driving rain and snow across the Great Lakes tonight, expanding to a much larger area of cold rain tomorrow, and later teaming up with our same winter storm out west. And that's what's going to direct and steer Zeta. It's going to be a busy week indeed. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm sharing with you the fact that last week I was out because my daughter, 17, freshman at Syracuse, lost her boyfriend. He was killed. A bus hit him. He was 18 and a hero in his local high school and a great son. He was an only son to a woman who had just recovered from breast cancer. The two of them were close, special. And one of the things that my Dorothy said is that one of the reasons she loved him was because of the way he talked to his mother on the phone. He showed her respect. And I have asked you, what would you tell your daughter? What should I say to her? It's okay to come home, because some days she wants to come home, some days she wants to stay. Should she take a leave of absence? And as you know, there are practical issues here. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Sue in Pennsylvania listening on WPHT, home of Dom Giordano and Walter Sterling. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Walter. You know, a lot of your callers have suggested that she should come home, but I'll tell you my experience. 4 days before my 21st birthday, when I was going to Ohio State University, I found my boyfriend dead in his apartment of a drug overdose. And it was, as you can imagine, the most traumatic thing that I ever went through. I wanted to die myself. And but what I did was, of course, I availed myself of the counseling that was available at the school. And I went to my guidance counselor because I wanted to drop out. And she told me, even if you flunk every class, you should stay in school and just try to soldier through. And, you know, I'll tell you something, that was some of the best advice I ever had in my entire life, because I didn't flunk out. I did not, you know, I didn't do well, but that lesson is something that I've used my entire life, because, you know, things happen in life and you can't just go pull the covers over your head. And I learned that I could get through something very devastating by just keep on keeping on and putting one foot in front of the other. So it served me well all my life. I'm 70 now, so.
Well, Sue, how old were you then?
It was 4 days before my 21st birthday. It was 1971.
See, it's a little different because she's 17. And those months between 17 and 21 are significant. And I don't know what to do. I hear what you're saying. And her mother often says what you're saying, that maybe she needs to stick this out. And my feeling is that she doesn't have a script for this either. It
right.
isn't like she's surrounded by this sort of tragedy. This is new. And,
right. Exactly. And, you know, I'll tell you, though, you being there for her is hugely important, because my parents were not very supportive. They weren't a demonstrative. And I really felt like I had to deal with it all by myself. And, you know, I think it's important that you are there physically for her. I think it would be good if she was able to get through it, because then she would learn that she could get through stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a really good point. By the way, she also was accepted to Ohio State. It was a great school, and we were grateful for that. And Sue, you must have had a good experience at Ohio State.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's a football school. You know, I was an art student, so.
Yeah, I don't listen. I have one thing to tell you about football. Like you, I have an artist's sensibility. I don't know anything about sports. I don't understand sports. 1,000 times people have explained to me what flags and downs are in football. I can't see it. I can't see the difference play to play. Same thing with basketball. I sort of understand bowling. That I sort of understand except for the scoring in the 12th frame. That puzzles me. But for the first time in my life, I saw somebody throw a football and I went, oh, wow, that's different. And that was Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. I saw him throw a football this year and I'm like, that's different. That's like a Jesus arm he's got. And and I started following him and I was very impressed. And then today I read that he's not going to get the Heisman Trophy. And I'm like, okay, that's why I don't like sports. These are idiots. And I thank you for the advice, Sue. It's great advice. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening to my show. Do you like this show?
I love it. I can't wait to listen every week.
You're the best. Thank you very much for listening on WPHT. Thank you for your call. All right, it's 13 past the hour, 13 past the hour. Coming up in just seconds, we have a surprise guest who's going to share with us his fill the phone lines theories about COVID. Don't run away. You're going to enjoy this. This is Sterling on Sunday. Highlands.com. I'm Walter Sterling. Are you tired like I am of feeling pain every day and not being able to do what you love or get a restful night's sleep? Well, there's a solution. There's a solution to arthritis pain. It is called Flexmore Medicine, F-L-E-X, Flexmore Medicine. It is a natural relief for minor arthritis pain in daytime and nighttime formulas. Two different containers. There's the daytime formula and the nighttime formula. What I do is I take the daytime formula when I wake up, and it eases my pain right away, and I get through the day. And then I take the nighttime formula before I go to sleep, and boom, I'm resting, my body's relaxed. It helps to ease my muscle and joint pain, as well as my stiffness and cramping. The cap is easy to open. Now, I don't know why that's in a commercial for arthritis medicine, because the cap for any arthritis medicine should be easy to open. But only the Highlands people figured it out. And they put an easy-to-open cap on these containers. Who knew? I love how it's made with natural, active ingredients, which are tough on pain, yet gentle on my body. This means they can safely complement your prescription medications, and they have no side effects. Take control of your arthritis pain right now and get $3 off your purchase when you go to Highlands.com/arthritis. That's H-Y-L-A-N-D-S, Highlands.com/arthritis. Then when you're there, enter the name Walter. The minute you enter the name Walter, you will see $3 coming off your purchase. It's not some wacky thing they mail you later. No, no. It comes off instantly. $3 off your purchase when you go to Highlands.com/arthritis. Walter at checkout for $3 off your purchase.
Sterling on Sunday.
I am so proud to talk to you about Harry's Razors. I have had a remarkable experience with their brand new sharpest blade ever. Now, unlike some other razor companies, Harry's does not charge you more for product improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still available for about $2 each. And they're able to do this because Harry owns a German factory that's been honing razor blades for over 100 years. This keeps prices low. Right now, if you go to harrys.com, you will find a free trial offer. It includes a blade, a handle, incredible shaving cream, and a travel box. How much does that cost? It costs $3. How about shipping and handling? Zero, zero, zero. If you put in my name, harrys.com, put in my name at checkout, Walter at harrys.com, and get all of that, blade, handle, shaving cream for $3.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music too is heard by the very best listeners, and we mean you.
All right. Every day I get 3 or 4 or 34 emails from people wanting to be on Sterling on Sunday. They're guests. Often they have very serious things to discuss. I'm not going to put anybody with very serious things to discuss on the air because it'll bore you out of your freaking mind, and me too. This guy sent me an email and said, I guarantee you're going to light up your phones with this. His name's Jeff Popick, Jeff Popick, and he has contrary points of view about the pandemic, contrary points of view. And I'm like, well, it's 18 past the hour. Let's hear from Jeff Popick with his contrary points of view. Jeff.
Good evening, Walter. How are you?
Now, Jeff, before we hear your contrary points of view, give us 60 seconds about who you are.
Well, my name is Jeff Popick, as you said, and I'm a serial entrepreneur. And as part of that, really, to pick an issue and make it work in a business, I have to also be something of a solutionist. And so I approach problems and I have to find solutions, or I live and die by that. And so I applied that to what is going on in the world today. And so I wrote this ebook called The Great American Virus Victory. And it is an absolute clear path. We can use math, we can use science, and we can, in 8 weeks, beat this COVID-19 virus. We can bury it in the ground.
Jeff Popick, how are we going to do that?
Well, I start, first of all, by we really have to visualize the win. I titled the book The Great American Virus Victory because really in my mind's eye, when I visualize this and I really spend time visualizing it, you've got to spend time visualizing the win. Napoleon Hill stressed that in his book, Think and Grow Rich. You've got to visualize it. You've got to have that goal. And so that's an important part of this. And so that's why I titled the book that. I didn't really want to title the book something on the dark side. I wanted to really highlight that in 8 weeks, in 56 days, we can have a nationwide block party, sans the masks, and we can go about life like we did before this thing started.
Jeff, so three times.
How do we do that?
Three times you sold me the title of the book. Now I want you to tell me how you're going to do that.
Okay. We start with what I term a human hibernation. And some may want to call that a lockdown. It is and it isn't. A hibernation, with the lockdown that we've had, we locked down and yet we kept as many things open as we could. That was 180 degrees the wrong way. It was self-defeating. It was self-sabotaging. What we need is a hibernation, a state of suspended animation, where we shut down as much as humanly possible, including the stock markets, as crazy as that sounds. So there is no economic disaster. It's not a human health versus an economic health equation. We will all win. And in 8 weeks, we do all win. So we all go into our little rabbit holes or our bear dens and we hibernate. And that's not to say we sleep, because even when bears hibernate, they don't sleep all the time. We just shut down as much as each of us possibly can. Businesses close. And almost as hard as it is to wrap your head around this at first, as crazy as you want to say that I am, when you really start to go through the details of this, like literally like a mathematical equation, because that's what I do, you come up with the fact that this works. The math works.
How do I get food?
People win, the economy
wins. How do I get food?
So there are exceptions. So we still have to eat. So there would be, and this would be largely a volunteer force. Volunteerism.
Wait. There's okay. Your first flaw. A volunteer force of people walking around.
Yes. It is a flaw.
That's a flaw.
Yep. That's why it takes 8 weeks. So we need to do something. So the vast majority of people go and hibernate. I mean, they still need to eat. They still need to do certain things that they absolutely need to do. But there are – so as we shut down, as this hibernation begins, the first 2 weeks are important. But at the end of those 2 weeks, we have literally put a corral around this virus. But that's not to say – every jail has escapees. So some of the coronavirus is going to escape, and it's going to escape because we have people, this volunteer force, that are needing to make sure people can eat. And so then we have to put these people, this volunteer force, into different shifts so that they can then shut down. And in 8 weeks,
who's going to manage?
And it's over.
Who's going to manage this hibernation?
I believe it's page one of my book, and I offer a declaration of war. And it's literally a war against the coronavirus. It literally is a war. And so a war has to be declared by the federal government. And so the federal government, I mean, I can put forth the solution, but the federal government would need to institute this, declare the war.
In my humble opinion,
steps necessary to win the war.
By the way, what was the last book you wrote before this one?
I've written a couple.
I bet.
One was How to Eradicate Heart Disease,
yeah.
And another was The Real Forbidden Fruit.
What's that?
The Real Forbidden Fruit
is not your wife.
How we can, I'm sorry?
Is a woman who's not your wife? What's The Real Forbidden Fruit?
The Real Forbidden Fruit is essentially what is killing us all, which is meat and dairy. So that's the real forbidden. You know, some people think the forbidden fruit was an apple, but that was a metaphor. The real forbidden fruit was meat, literally going back to the Garden of Eden.
I think that the real forbidden fruit is large pizza, Diet Coke, pizza, Diet Coke. But none of the, listen, with respect, and I admire your enterprise in getting on the show, with respect, your dietary suggestions are not revolutionary. Any cardiologist will tell you the same thing.
Sure. They weren't saying that up until a few years ago.
Until 1958.
They were actually denying that.
Until 1958. The Simpsons movie had the same premise that yours did about hibernation. Remember the dome went over Springfield in the Simpsons movie and it contained everybody? Remember that? And then there are a number of science fiction movies where you don't leave the bunker because there's a virus out there. The virus will get you. There's a virus over there. What's the name of your book, Jeff?
The Great American Virus Victory.
Will you send me a link to the book and I'll put it on my Facebook page?
I would love to.
All right, so send it to me at WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail.
Okay.
What's wrong with
this? I will do that.
All right. Thank you.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
Thank you very much for talking to us. Jeff Popick, P-O-P-I-C-K. He wants us to hibernate, which I don't hear as being any different. I let him go on because I wanted to hear him say something different than what we've been doing now. It still seems like there are a lot of free radicals walking around out there. All right, what is it? It's 27 past the hour, 27 past the hour. I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine somebody who's so nuts that they want every piece of technology that's near them to be white, to be painted white, including their cell phone and the inside of their cell phone to be painted white.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a story I've been working on for my new book. Every NYPD precinct or borough office has a colony of cops hiding inside known as palace guards or house mouses who make Department of Motor Vehicle employees look like a bunch of highly driven self-starters. To ensure their non-essential positions, they curry favor with the powers that be by fetching their lunch, gassing their vehicles, or picking up their dry cleaning. With their ears to the ground, they monitor precinct gossip, passing along useful tidbits to the commanding officer in exchange for job security. In short, they wear police uniforms, are paid a police salary, and never have to do any police work. And if you thought the precinct house mouses had an overinflated sense of value, you should see how the borough lackeys operate, catering to the needs of the chief's inspectors. Sometimes being around the man.
We will hear more of Vic Ferrari coming up in just seconds. He's our police detective. He is a retired New York City police detective who has the best cop stories I've ever had. And you and I will get to hear Vic Ferrari coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday. What have I got for you? I have more of the drive-thru brew. I have Florida stories. It's an incredible, remarkable show. Wouldn't you agree? And I'd love to talk to you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And you and I can communicate by email all the time. I answer every single email. Guaranteed. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. This is Sterling on Sunday. This is
all it takes. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. Monday, there'll be 80s to the south and teens to the north. That's the recipe for dangerous weather with your Monday forecast. Snow extremes, northern New England, then heavier rains down through New York and following the Appalachians. Then locally heavy thunderstorms from Indiana into Missouri, then down through Oklahoma and most of Texas, adding new Gulf moisture. And cold behind that, the rain-snow line from the Panhandles to a narrow area of snow western Illinois, and much heavier snows for New Mexico and Colorado. Expect travel delays there. No wildfire rains, by the way, for the west. Nothing much moves on Tuesday. Very little movement, so more rain and snow for whatever you got from Monday. You'll see it on Tuesday. But now we're going to add the first tropical downpours from Zeta late Tuesday night. And Zeta's landfall would be late Wednesday, spreading across the southeast Thursday. Zeta's presence will also moderate any cold extremes this week. But by Friday, Zeta's rains will be from the Carolinas all the way up to Maine. Some bigger travel delays at the big airports in the Northeast. And Halloween doesn't look so scary at all right now for Saturday. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a story I've been working on for my new book. Every NYPD precinct or borough office has a colony of cops hiding inside known as palace guards or house mouses who make Department of Motor Vehicle employees look like a bunch of highly driven self-starters. To ensure their non-essential positions, they curry favor with the powers that be by fetching their lunch, gassing their vehicles, or picking up their dry cleaning. With their ears to the ground, they monitor precinct gossip, passing along useful tidbits to the commanding officer in exchange for job security. In short, they wear police uniforms, are paid a police salary, and never have to do any police work. And if you thought the precinct house mouses had an overinflated sense of value, you should see how the borough lackeys operate, catering to the needs of the chief's inspectors. Sometimes being around the masters of the universe can go to their heads, and despite being cops, they develop a false sense of power. And that can get them in trouble when they venture out of the kingdom. So one afternoon, myself and a couple of detectives in my office were waiting online at an Italian deli in the Throgs Neck section of the Bronx to grab lunch. The place had excellent food, and it used to create a line of customers winding out of this place during dinner time. So as we're waiting online for our lunch, to give our lunch order, this borough cop and friend of my brother approaches me and tries to cut the line. And he says, so how long have you been waiting? I said, about 10 minutes. He goes, you know, you're getting awful hungry up there at the borough. And I says, look, they're not going to run out of salami. You're going to have to wait your turn. And he goes, well, I hate to pull rank, but I'm going to have to cut the line. I says, you're not cutting the line. He goes, dude, I'm not asking. I'm telling. And he jumps in front of me on line. So my partner grabs this cop in uniform by the shoulder. He says, get to the back of the line. What are you doing? The next thing you know, you got construction workers, little old ladies, telephone company repairmen screaming at this cop in uniform. Yeah, get out of here. Get to the back of the line. It looked like the scene in A Bronx Tale when Sonny's telling the mush to get into the bathroom. So a couple of days later, my brother runs into me and he says, hey, I ran into Nick from the borough the other day. He said, you and your friends abused him online at the deli. I said, yeah. He goes, well, you got to be careful. He knows a lot of powerful people. I says, he doesn't know anybody at that deli. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Mr. Sneakers, Randy Wellenkamp, thank you very much for your suggestions and thoughts and good advice about what my daughter should do to get through the next few weeks after her boyfriend died. And Rico Berno, thank you very much for that article. I'm Walter Sterling. And now, what I know you're waiting for, Florida stories.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. Yes, fantastic. Thank you. For our first Florida story, let's go to Gulfport, Florida. There's a 23-year-old Florida man in the passenger seat. His twin brother is riding in the back seat in the middle, and a friend is driving the car. They're having a good time joking around. No conflict or anything reported. But the brother in the passenger seat pulls out his gun and points it at his brother, just joking around. And so joking around right back, twin brother pulls out his gun because he's actually a security guard for an armored car. So he pulls out his gun and then he says the gun goes off. He must have pulled the trigger. He doesn't remember pulling the trigger. He has no reason to pull the trigger. The last thing he wants to do is kill his own brother. It was a total accident. So it sounds like you remember that scene from Pulp Fiction where the guy in the front seat accidentally shot the guy in the back seat. I think this is just that in reverse, except it's twin brothers. So it's even more weird than the Quentin Tarantino scene from Pulp Fiction. Cops don't know whether or not to charge him with murder because it seems to be an accident, but he did pull out his gun and point it at his brother. And so I think they had to pull over and call Harvey Keitel to help him come clean it up or something like that. I don't know. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
So a 37-year-old Florida man in North Naples, Florida, goes into Walmart, loads up his basket with a bunch of expensive stuff, which is already suspicious. A dual navigation system worth $120, a scooter that's worth $248, $160 worth of batteries. And then he goes by the drink aisle and grabs the Kool-Aid packet, goes to the self-checkout lane, and while he's checking out all this super expensive stuff, he's just putting the Kool-Aid pack over the UPC label of whatever he's scanning. So when he checks out, his bill was less than $25, but he had $994 worth of merchandise in his cart. But he got immediately busted. Don't feel bad. He's been in and out of jail before. He's a convicted felon. This guy just must be a real idiot. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go to Jacksonville, Florida, where an aspiring young rapper is filming a video, and he's live streaming part of it. The problem with the live streaming your rap video is when you have some illegally owned guns and you're a convicted felon. There's other people around you who are convicted felons, and then the cops get wind of it. And before you're done filming the video for the day, the cops are already there arresting you. They didn't say if the song was any good. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @ James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Exactly 4 minutes from now, you will hear part two of Florida Stories, because this is a full-service program. There's nothing quite like this. Sterling on Sunday, it's spectacular. Now, I want to share with you, it's taken me 2 weeks to decide whether or not I wanted to talk to you about this. It took me 2 weeks to decide whether or not I wanted to tell my wife about this. There is a video that I think you might find amazing. It's a creation of Christian Coppola. It appears that no Coppola can make a bad movie. This is an 18-minute movie. That's all it is. It's 18 minutes. And I have now watched it several times, because it covers something in a beautiful, uplifting way that never gets discussed. It never gets talked about. It's like society's secret. If a woman loses her husband, she has support groups, Ladies Home Journal, church, dozens of places that she can talk about the death of her husband and the loss of her husband, and she should. She talks about it with her friends, her children. People listen and help her. Where does a man go? A man 75, 80, 85 years old. Is he going to talk about the death of his wife on the golf course? They won't invite him back. Is he going to talk about it when he's bowling? They won't invite him back. Is he going to talk about it with his coworkers? Oh, how are you doing, Frank? I'm okay. That's how it's going to go. He never gets to really grieve. Men don't grieve. And I've known guys who this has hurt because they don't grieve. And, you know, if you're 75, 80, 85, you grew up at a time you didn't go to a psychiatrist. You didn't talk to a therapist. That wasn't what you did. This video, it's called Daddy, D-A-D-D-Y, Daddy. It is a beautiful, beautiful 18-minute movie. You can see it on YouTube, D-A-D-D-Y, Daddy on YouTube, 18 minutes. It is the first treatment I have ever seen of how a man can grieve. It shows one of the things that this man has done to grieve the loss of his wife. And it's surprising. The way it's treated is surprising. And at the same time, it's beautiful. I urge you to take a look at it. It's a fascinating way to cope with grief by an 80-year-old man. It's 44 past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling, and I am shocked every time I go to the drugstore and buy razor blades. Like, what? This is as much as a car. I could get a Buick for what this costs. Not with Harry's. Harry's blades are constantly developed to be the sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more for their product improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each. Now, there's a special trial offer only available to you. Here's what you do. You go to harrys.com. You will find a new trial offer. It consists of a blade, a beautiful ergonomic handle, shaving gel. You put it on, it turns into foam, it smells fantastic, and it comes in a convenient travel box. Must be expensive, you know? No, it's $3. You go to checkout, you put in the name Walter, and it's $3. Blade, handle, shaving cream, travel box, $3. They send it to you. You're figuring, well, the shipping and handling. No, 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 no. Shipping and handling is zero, zero, zero. So all of that, blade, handle, shaving cream, $3. $3 from Harry's. Go to harrys.com, promo code Walter. Harry's.com. They now have their sharpest blade ever. And unlike other companies, they're not charging you more for the product improvements. Go to harrys.com, promo code Walter, for that trial kit for $3.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again, they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we go to Marion County, Florida, where 47-year-old Florida man on something breaks into a house and he's going through the 73-year-old man's master bedroom closet. 73-year-old man wakes up, dude, what are you doing in my closet? He shoves him down. So the old man says, I'm going to have to get you out of here. I'm calling the cops. And he starts screaming at him. So he goes out in the yard, yells at the dog, steals the guy's pickup truck, takes off. He ends up going to some other lady's house off in the woods, breaks into her house, starts rummaging through her fridge. And you know how if you leave your refrigerator door open too long, it starts doing that alarm? Well, that alarm thing woke her up. She comes in, finds him eaten. So he jumps back in the pickup, drives off, goes to a third home, robs an apartment without waking someone else up, leaves that, goes to a fourth home. Cops finally catch up with him there. He's arrested. The aristocrats. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to St. Petersburg. So there's a 33-year-old Florida woman. She may have been under the influence or drugs or alcohol at the time, but she will not leave this gas station. The owners keep telling her, you got to leave. She doesn't want to leave. I don't know why a 33-year-old Florida woman wants to hang out at the gas station, but she's not welcome. So the cops show up. They try and get her to leave. They ask her who she is. She refuses to provide her real name. She keeps saying, and this is a quote, I'm not trying to be childish or anything, my name is My Butt Just Farted. That's what she said her name was, My Butt Just Farted. So she's wearing a tank top, and you can see on the top of her back written is Guerrero. That's her real name, so I don't know how long her ruse was going to stand up. But trespassing a misdemeanor, also a misdemeanor, giving a false name to policemen. So her little flatulent joke just got her another charge. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For this Florida story, we got to go down to Coral Gables, Florida, where a law firm has a new partner and then 2 years ago disappeared. The 41-year-old Florida man was just taken into custody this week. What has he been doing in the meantime? Well, according to the FBI, he became a serial bank robber. Robbed at least 5 banks. Turns out he didn't really graduate from Duke Law School, and there's a whole lot of other weird stuff unraveling. But that seems kind of odd because robbing banks, doesn't it probably make less money than being a partner at a law firm, right? So why would you do that? Florida, that's why. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
And I'm Walter Sterling. It's great to be with you. All the grown-ups have gone to bed. It's just us. Nobody is going to ask you to fill out a form right now. I don't have any forms. In fact, when I've had forms, I lose them mysteriously. A lot of notes about this. Let me go through this again. There's a YouTube video, but it's actually a real 18-minute movie made by Christian Coppola, a distant relative of Francis Ford Coppola. It is stunning. It is beautiful. It'll make you smile and make you happy and sad all at once. It's called Daddy, D-A-D-D-Y, Daddy. And it's about an 80-year-old man dealing with the death of his wife. And I debated whether or not to talk to you about this because the way he deals with it is unusual, but life-giving, uplifting, D-A-D-D-Y. It's amazing to me. It made me think that in our culture, women have many, many, many ways to deal with the death of their husbands, many ways to grieve the death of their husbands. Support groups, church, their sister, their sister-in-law, it is treated seriously. But think about a guy, an 80-year-old man whose wife dies. Who does he talk to? He can't talk about it at the bowling league. He can't talk about it at the Elks Club. He's from a generation that did not ask for help. It wasn't the manly thing to do, but there he is alone with his grief. What does he do? And, you know, he can't bring it to work. He can't bring it to his colleagues. He can't bring it to his bank counselor. What's he going to do? Maybe he'll get it to his church. But how do men deal with grief? We're not good at it. We don't know who to go to. Women are much better at it. And part of it is the statistic, which is that men tend to die before their wives. So a wife is there alone, and she has a support group because our culture recognizes the odds are she's going to be alone. This 18-minute film deals with male grief, a man's grief, in a unique way, a unique perspective. And it's called D-A-D-D-Y. It's on YouTube. It's created by Christian Coppola. It is not a slapdash film. It was well done, well invested. I told you before about this woman. This woman, Rebecca Newman, in New York City, who was married to Adam Newman, the founder of the WeWork office space company. And they were about to go to an IPO. And that didn't happen. It didn't happen for a lot of reasons because the premise of the business was wrong. And we'll talk about that next week. But as I'm reading this book about Adam Newman, it went into a lot of detail about his wife, Rebecca Newman, who is a relative of Gwyneth Paltrow. a relative of Gwyneth Paltrow. And one of the things Rebecca insisted on was that all of her appliances, tech, electronics, computer, cell phone, be white. And if it wasn't white, she insisted it be painted white, designer white. Everything needed to match. By the way, this week I came up with a great definition of a designer chair. Guaranteed, a designer chair is one in which you are incredibly uncomfortable. The minute you sit down, you figure it's either going to collapse or it's going to tip over. That's how you know it's a designer chair. If I pick a chair, pay attention. If I pick a chair, it's solid. It's going to sit there. It's from a furniture company with the word old in it. I'm going to be able to sit there for decades and not move and be comfortable. I won't have the sensation that it's about to tip over or that my butt's sticking out in the back. But that's a designer chair. I want nothing to do with them. The other thing, the way you know it's a designer chair, is if it doesn't tilt back, if the back of the chair doesn't have an angle, but if it's straight up and down, those are chairs from hell for me, Walter Sterling, Sterling on Sunday, for me, Walter Sterling. But this Rebecca Newman, she insisted that her cell phone be white inside and out. She had the people who worked for her at WeWork open up her cell phones and paint the insides white. Can you imagine the insanity involved in that? Not to mention the high risk of ruining that $800 cell phone. It's insane. My email address is Walter M. Sterling. I answer every email I get. I have a web page that tells you everything about this, plus every show I've ever done, including the secret ones on WABC, are on that web page. And the name of the web page is Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show, S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G, Walter Sterling Show. Did you have fun tonight? Was this an adventure for you? Gosh, I hope so. Please remember that the greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.